You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
It's just funny because bringing it back to music, I did hear you talking to Finn about this a little bit. Like, you guys touched on it when you were starting out. I mean, it was, tape trading was how you guys were starting out. And, that's word of mouth. It's very slow. It's a gradual build that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, it also, there's pros and cons to that as well.
And not then, always hi-fi listening either.
Oh, no, there's no hi-fi. You know, you recorded that on a fucking four track in a garage.
Yeah. And you're like the sixth person that got the version. So it's copied and copied.
It's copied and copied and copied. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, it's just funny to think about those days. I mean, you guys have spanned literally that from that time to now where everything is. There we go. Okay. You're back.
Yeah. Someone was calling me. Yeah.
Okay. But you know, you guys have your career has spanned from a time when it was tape trading to now. I mean, there's artists that I've talked to and have on the show here sometimes that do everything themselves. They don't need a label. They don't need a distribution. It's it's all digital. And they can mix and master themselves and put it out. You know,
there's so many talented musicians and people out there. It's insane, and especially younger bands coming out now onto the scene. They have everything figured out. Everything.
Well, I don't know that I got to push back on that a little bit, that they don't have everything figured out. They similar to you talking about your project with the synth stuff, like, it's more free. It's the Wild West right now. There's no formula to releasing music like there was for so many years, if that makes sense.
No, I think I meant more of like kind of what you touched on before, that they recorded everything, they know, they can get all that stuff out on their own. They definitely don't have everything figured out. but
nobody has everything figured out.
And that would be boring too. I feel like sometimes, again, being late and stuff like that, I social media and all that things that's so important, and the record label is on you all the time. I'd be like, I don't know all that stuff, and I don't care about all that stuff, but I know it's necessary, I guess, to be part, like,
you gotta keep up with the times. You gotta keep up with the times a little bit.
I get it. But it was like, like when the label I released this If Anything Suspicious album on, they were like, oh, you gotta get on TikTok, you gotta do this. I was like, I don't want to be on, like, what should I do on TikTok? Like I have nothing that I can do this, and I can be on stage, and I don't, and I know I'm missing stuff. I know I'm not gonna get exactly what I, the reward that they expect, but it's fine. You gotta come to a place where you feel like it's okay. This is it.
I totally agree. Go ahead, man.
I was.
See, this is why the Zoom thing's always. Yeah, I can see the wheels turning. It's why the Zoom thing is a little tough sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to cut you off, but like, it's just interesting though, because what you're saying there is so true. Getting to a place where you're comfortable with the way that you're presenting your art, because there is so many different ways to do it, right? And like you said, the TikToks of the world, stuff like that. It's like, well, I'm not going to do a dance. I'm not going to do what people go to TikTok to see. That's just not part of my art, right? And it's hard to convey that to someone, especially at a label, that they know what TikTok is made for. And the thing that I'm finding more and more with all these different social media apps too, and different avenues of reaching people, it's actually more difficult to get the user off of that app and to, Spotify or Apple to listen to the music. They're going to like it. They're going to say something on TikTok, but they're not going to go. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go somewhere else. They're at TikTok. They're at Instagram. They're at X, specifically because that is the entertainment that they're looking for on their phone at the moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, you want to put it in their head, so maybe later when they're listening to music, they go, oh yeah, I want to go check that out. But it's not necessarily translate all the time.
No, No, I agree. I mean, personally, I'm very happy I grew up in a world before all this, you know. Like we took our time to develop, you know, and then we had these venues where we could play early be on stage, play live before no one knew of us, that we learned the craft. We're not great at all, but we at least we tried, you know. And then the album sort of sounded like what we sounded on stage. It wasn't anything that was just fixed, and then we ended up on stage and sounded like completely different. It was just, that was it. And I'm glad we took that time. And I look back and be like, fuck yeah, I'm happy, you know, and that had happened. Man, but then again, I can't say anything, but kids growing up today, this is what they're used to, and that's
Of
fine. I'm
course.
not saying it was used to be, but it was way better than, it's not what I'm trying to say, you
Yeah, you
know.
want to be an old head, as they call us
No,
sometimes.
that's not what I'm trying to say at all. But when I look at
Yeah.
my, I'm very happy that I've gone through these
Yeah.
stages, you know. It's fucking pre-internet. Our first t-shirt we had was internet, like it wasn't in flames.com. It was like HTTP/blah blah blah, and it was like five, now 10 words, and I don't know, 20 numbers or something, back of a t-shirt. It looks
No way.
insane. Yeah. But it's funny now,
Yeah,
looking at
yeah.
that t-shirt. I found it in the bag, and I was laughing quite hard, but it's funny. It's, yeah, that's what it is. It's very much pre-internet.
Yeah, man. But I mean, you got to wear that as a badge of honor too, right? I mean, the fact that you guys have been doing this for, you know, coming up on 30 years, you said you joined in 95, right? So it's coming up on nine, just next year, you'll be in flames for 30 years, which is fucking insane. And that shows the longevity, right? That you guys created by doing the tape trading and going to, I mean, we're talking about today's releases of music, but that means you guys also went through similar to us, where it used to be radio meant everything, music videos meant everything. You know, records actually, so record sales meant something, you know, and record labels had more power, and it's just dwindling and dwindling. So I bring up all those things to say that, like, over 30 years, it's not just, you know, tape trading to now. It's you guys have weathered the storm of the business along the way too, right? And that's like, that's something that there's definitely something to be said for that.
You know, it's but I look back with, like, now I forgot that the fights you had with the labels, the fight with
Oh
managers and people
man.
around, like, you look back, it's like, oh, that was a good time. But I mean, it's been tough times too, where they send us out, oh, I have to do this acoustic thing, you have to do this and that. I'd be like, I scream, like, I don't want to sit in an office and do an acoustic because you think this is the times where people should go acoustic, you know.
And that most of the time, those are copycat ideas anyway. It's like we were talking about with kids. It's putting a blanket and being like, this works for that band, so it must work for this band. It's like,
Exactly.
come on.
But I mean, you know, you don't want to be stubborn all the time and say no all the time. Sometimes you say yes, and then you realize, why the fuck didn't I say no? But
Yeah, sometimes she's like, I
at
should have stick to my
least
guns. And other times she's like,
exactly.
all right, you were right that time. That worked out pretty well.
Exactly. But yeah, whatever it is, we're still here, so it's fun. And I haven't been, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from anyone who's been part of the band, but right now I feel we're a really good, a solid band that sounds better than ever. And I'm looking with to the future, I smile, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's get to that. Because last time we were on tour together, you didn't have Chris from Megadeth,
No,
and
no, no, no. And I don't think we have Tanner. We didn't have anyone of those,
no, it's just you and
Liam or
Chris, and
Tanner. So yeah, people quit. Things happen.
yeah, that life, yeah.
Life comes in between. So yeah, but now it's been Tanner been with us. Tanner on drums been with us for 6 years, and Chris, he's almost there as well. And Liam is brand new since last year. But it feels like we've been a band for, you know, the 30 years we're talking about.
Yeah.
These guys are fucking phenomenal people.
And I gotta imagine it's great that they've been there now for the 6 years, and I hate to make it sound like they're new members or anything like that, but I wonder how that meshing was, because something that I've always gravitated towards your band is the guitar work from Bjorn and the duels and stuff. Like, that was something when you guys were doing it, when I first heard it, the late 90s, early 2000s, it's not like I'd never heard it before because I was a classic metal fan, but it hadn't been done in at least a decade
that way.
You know? And so when you bring in someone like Chris, who's, you know, goes back to, was it P. Cells that he was on with Megadeth?
No, it's way later.
Okay.
I don't know exactly albums, but I mean, we know each other from when he was in Jagpanzer and Nevermore prior. We've known him for 20 years, you know. So,
dude, you're naming, like, I'm so happy to have this conversation, and I'll get to why in a second, because, like, you're naming all these bands that, like, when I was in high school, I was going to all these shows, and I'm going to try and jog your memory on one of them in particular minute. But so, okay, I thought it was a different Chris. I apologize. It was a later record.
Way later.
And you knew him from, I'm sorry, I had to cut you off.
Yeah, from Jagpanzer, and then Nevermore. He went to Nevermore. So, right. And that's when we got to know each other. He was like the first person we thought of, and super professional, of course. And he was working on with this other band after Megadeth. He was working, I think, for Act of Defiance or something. And when our previous guitar player, he's like, I can't go. And our crew was already over on our way over to America because we were starting an American tour. And we were like, what should we do? Let's call Chris Potter, see what he's up to. And he was learning, you know, he was learning songs as we were playing them, pretty much. He is super, super professional, but yeah. And he's still here, still doing amazing.
Yeah. So the shows so far in this cycle, obviously you guys are feeling great. How long have you been out at a time? Like, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about kids, like, you're not out for as long as in a one period.
But that's been periods. I think the longest we've been out, like, without going home, probably 3 months or something like that.
Oh, that's still long, man. That's still a long time.
And last year, I think we were, I mean, the whole year, I think we were away like 7 months, but not straight, you know, seven or 8 months. But we did two tours back to back last year, which was, that's long, you know, and then coming from America and then pretty much straight into Europe. And that was, it takes a toll on you for sure.
Yeah, man. It's been a minute since I did a 3 month tour. That's some hardcore shit.
People don't know what I'm going through.
Yes, I do. I do. I gotta say, I was a lot younger the last time I did a 3 month tour.
Oh, yeah.
And I gotta tell you, man, the tolls just keep getting, I should say, I don't have to tell you, the tolls get harder and harder each year, right?
Yeah. For sure, getting out of bed, it hurts a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like we're complaining, but we're not.
Not at all. As soon as I hear the intro, and, you know, because we always hug it out before we go on stage, then it feels like, oh, I can take on the world, and nothing matters at that moment, you know, and it feels awesome, and you don't feel the pain. It's just having a good time. So, but then slowly after the show, it comes back again.
Well, you just brought up something I wanted to ask about. Do you have, like, a set schedule or some traditions that you have before you go on stage? You mentioned you guys hug it out before. Is that like a huddle? Is someone in the huddle, like, getting a pep talk before you go on stage, or is it like, high fives all around before you get up there? Like,
pretty much like this. The other guys have their, like, mini rigs, electronic drum kit and small amps, and they rehearse pretty far. And I come
warming up in the backstage.
And I come in the dressing room an hour sort of before, and then I start jamming music. Most part for people's liking. Sometimes they don't like it, but it doesn't matter. It's it's my world. No, but And then, it's time to go on stage. We hug it up, but it has to be in a certain order. You know, you can't change the order. So it always has to be one person first, and it's always like that. So Chris is always my first hugger. That's where I go to. And then it's, Liam, and then it's Tanner, and then it's Bjorn, and then off we go. And then obviously my assistant, he is always in there as well. But so everybody does that, and we're ready to go.
Would you consider yourself superstitious then?
No, not at all. But not at all, I guess. I mean, we created something like that, but I don't. If we fuck it up, I don't think the lightning.
It doesn't like you don't just like drop everything, and it's not full like that.
No. So I don't think so.
Yeah, I ask because I have similar things that are traditions that I like to like to keep and. I used to be very superstitious.
Had certain socks or shoes and tie the shoes in different order or what?
No, nothing quite so OCD. I mean, I have that. I have that in my personal life, but it doesn't pertain to the shows. I more or less pertaining to the shows. It's more like you said. There's an order of the hugs. I give fist bumps to everybody. It's like been my thing. Since the beginning. With the last like 10 seconds or whatever, backstage, there's been videos of this, but we do like this motion. And it's like world domination, something we did like when we were like, in our early 20s. Yeah. And we're like, we're going to take on the world, and which is something that stuck. Little things like that, I to line check my bass when it's handed to me by Willie G, I check the same riff every time. It's the Velvet Revolver, Duff McKagan.
Is Willie with you on tour right now?
Yeah, Willie's on tour with me. Do you know Willie?
Yeah, send him love, man.
I absolutely will. Willie's been around, man. He's been with a lot of guys, man. He's a good dude.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a small world, man. I didn't know you. Did you guys work with him?
We crossed paths for years. But he has not worked with us, but with other bands that we tour with. Yeah.
Well. So. Well, getting to the shows again, I gotta prop up. May is when you guys are gonna be doing your U.S. tour. I was looking at the dates because man, I would love to watch you guys from the fucking crowd again. I'm going to make sure I do because I'm gonna keep watching these tours as they come up. But unfortunately, you're not getting into California. Did you
no,
guys
not
do
this
any-
time?
Did you do California in the winter with Meshuggah?
Yeah, we did. So it's not this time. It's more East Coast and mid, I guess.
And
we're not hitting Canada this time either, which is unfortunate. We love Canada, but no. But it's. I mean, I'm looking forward to this tour, and I mean, I'm always part of picking the bands if we have support bands, and I want to know what band it is. I want to pick them myself and with agents and so on as well. But and I'm really super stoked to have Gate Creeper and Creeping Death, amazing bands, and really reminds me of the stuff that I grew up listening to, but with a new twist, and it's awesome. So people should come early and check it out. It's you pay a lot of money for a ticket these days. So, it's for me, it's important that you get a good night, get there
Absolutely.
And just have a blast and forget the, what do you say, the shit that's going on around in the world.
Just
an escape,
Absolutely. That's what we're doing. We're entertainers. Like, I know we're musicians and artists, but we're also entertainers. It's all part of the whole fucking umbrella. And the whole idea is to allow that release to people the same way that we were just talking about. We do the same thing when we put on a show or music to go to bed and get we're all human beings doing the same thing. We're just, this is our way of giving it to everybody. And you mentioned you picked these bands. Do you have any prior relationships with these guys? Like, have you toured with them before or anything, or you just listen to their music?
No.
And you're a fan?
Yeah, I listen to the music. Gate Creeper, I met this previous summer on a couple of European festivals, and they are awesome dudes. And I was listening to some of their stuff prior, and then I got to meet them, and it was fucking awesome. So, and I'm happy that they got thrown in the hat. And Creeping Death is a new acquaintance, but I've been listening to their stuff, and they're really, really good. So I said, let's try these guys. And it fits the bill. And it, you know, I always want to get psyched. I want to hear music that's great and that pump me up before the show. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street Podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
Wherever you're listening to this podcast, make sure you're subscribed and leave us a 5-star review. If you want to listen to this show ad-free, head over to drinkswithjohnny.com and become a premium member. You'll get to enjoy unreleased clips from your favorite guests, discounts on merchandise in our shop, and access to our private Discord server where you can chat one-on-one with Johnny Christ himself.
Awesome!
So stay tuned, stay thirsty, and stay filthy as fuck.
Dude. I'm sorry I'm going to miss it, but everybody at home doesn't have to miss it. If they go check out the tour dates in the U.S. And then, of course, if you're in Europe, there'll be that winter tour with Arch Enemy and Soilwork. Going back to the Gothenburg sound that you guys created, you know, amongst other bands, of course, too. Some of the ones you're going to be back on tour with. I mean, you guys kind of get mentioned hand in hand with the likes of At the Gates and stuff coming out of, around the same time. These were all the bands that I was listening to. I want to bring it back to my fandom of In Flames and where it all started. You know, at first it was Clayman, then I went back to Colony, Jester Race, Oracle. Those were like my I guess screaming metal Bible in high school, you know. And I would go out and see you guys any chance that I got. I saw you at least twice at the Pomona Glasshouse.
Oh yeah. We've played that many times.
Yeah, you have. I don't want to over exaggerate and say that it was at least, you know, four times, but I know it was at least two. Sometimes somewhere between two and five. I've seen you guys. And it's all a blur now because we're talking about, you know, 20 plus years ago. But there are some things that definitely stick out. I think the first time Earth Crisis was headlining and you guys were one of the bands on it. And I wanted to see if you remember, if my memory was right, or if you would even remember. This is back when you had the dreads.
Yeah.
And I remember the crowd being a little hostile.
And someone
grabbed your dreads. Do you remember this? At the Pomona Glasshouse, someone grabbing your dreadlocks when you were headbanging?
I don't remember that specific moment. But yeah, that was a tough crowd. But we knew getting into that it would be tough, especially tough. I remember Salt Lake City. We played there. Mm-hmm. We had our metal guys come with their leather jackets, and you have all these super straight edge come in. They were looking at the metal guys, being like, "Oh, there's a fight happening right here," you know. And it was rough. But you know, it was. I think you know that was the. You had the hardcore and the melodic, and then I don't know if that turned. Started some sort of style or whatever, but it was a cool blend that hit the stage at that point. And they were cool guys, really good guys. I'm happy they took us out, you know. And that's something I think we don't really say no to anything, even though it might be quite different here and there. We just play. Let's do it and see what happens. Because you can always, I mean, if you always play for a converted, you never grow, right? So you have to get out there and play in front of other bands' audience as well,
right? No, that's always been the thing, though, right? I mean, we know that too. From that was how you got in front of different audiences. Now again, nowadays in a day and age where you could just put things out on social media or whatever, and you find people a different way. But back then, you know, you played shows with other bands that were maybe not exactly like you, and you sought those tours out, you know, at those times. And I bring all this up again, loving those live shows. You guys always sounded amazing to me at the Glass House. Like, it was like, whatever reason, like that, it sounded incredible. I brought up the Earth Crisis thing, and I'm glad you brought up being on that tour. And that timing was like the early 2000s. You almost said it. Like, the media started calling it metalcore after that, when everything started to meld together.
I'm not saying that is us or so, but no, of course, it was pretty early on when it was the mix between, like, because it felt like it was either or, you know, like you yes. were a hardcore band and you were touring with hardcore bands, so you were metal bands, so you were touring with metal bands. So there was like right.
there was no crossover. Like
no, it was like the old days, like synth, point. Yeah, like the old days of synth and heavy metal. It was like nothing mm-hmm. in between. Boom, and this was all of a sudden like it worked. It worked. I mean, not for everyone, but it yeah. it started something. People go like, oh, hey, there's something here.
So, yeah. No, I mean, it did for me too. It sparked like so much because I was listening. The hardcore scene was massive in Orange County. Like that was
it was. Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
yeah, and other places like Salt Lake City, and it was fun. You know, I remember like this was in high school for me too. So like I was very, very much in that. You know, when we're on our teen years and we like pick our genre, and that's like how you identify, right?
Yeah,
so I was very
yeah,
much
yeah,
into sure. that, and I was always the metal guy, and I was like, ah, fuck hardcore, you know. And then I came around to hardcore. It was like. And then everything came together. But I just want to like paint the picture for some of the listeners and viewers at home who maybe don't know the history of how that came to be. Like you're talking about, you'd go to these shows where bands like yourself would go out with an Earth Crisis, and the crowds were fighting each other a lot of the times, screaming at the fucking different bands. It was, you know, it was a real scene, man. It was and it was going all over the, I mean, at least in the U.S. I don't know how it was in Europe, but it was all over.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was very metal in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, like more so than I think it was in the States. But
I think the States were more hardcore, and Europe was a little bit more metal. And that's why I gravitated towards more like you guys, the Soil Works of the world, Children of Bodom, At the Gates. Yeah. You know, that was more my shit. But
I think that's why a lot of when our type of music or our type of bands got attention, it seemed like there was tons of these bands, you know. But we've been doing it for years before media turned and called it whatever they call it,
right?
Stuff like that, you know. So, but yeah, I'm fine. Call me whatever. It's all good. Yeah, it's all good. But I think the most, what are we talking about here? The most important thing for us is just, like I said, not saying no to anything and just fucking go out there and do it. And you learn something from it. If you can't do that, I think you lost already.
Yeah. And I think even for the listener out there can wrap their heads around it too. Cause it's like, you guys went out there to learn something for yourselves, but you're also in a way kind of teaching the fans and the next generation musicians like myself that were coming up and watching and going to these shows and seeing the, you know, the battle between metal and hardcore, like, and mm-hmm. and it's so funny to say now because no one gives a fuck anymore. Like it, like at that moment, at those, like, it was only a few years, but those few years, like everyone, it was like, it was a debate at if you were into hard rock at all, it was always a debate. You know what I mean? Like, there was like, and it was an angry, heated fucking debate. There's a lot of people who go to the shows just to fuck up the people, of the fans of another band. And you're like, and it's so funny. Like in this day and age, it's very fortunate that it's not there anymore. But I got to say, as influential as your band has been musically to everybody, I want to also point out that you guys going out and playing with these other bands and, I think you taught a lot of listeners a lot of things too, and brought a lot of harmony to a scene in a, you know, I'm not trying to prop you up as the messiahs of fucking music or anything like that to give you too big.
I will tell all my friends what you said right now and see. That's just how I'm going to live my
life
from here on.
Is the messiah of metal. But honestly, like there's an element to that, like that I'm saying, there's a lot of truth to that. Like, bands like yourself getting out there and melding, because the artists, that bands, we never cared about that stuff, right? Yeah. It's the fans that kind of created those opposing scenes, right?
I appreciate you saying those fine words, sir. But at the end of the day, you know, when all of this is over, yeah. It's not an individual song or an album. It's that we actually created something from a small place in this world, because Gothenburg, or where we were out a little bit outside of Gothenburg, we were like 30 dudes that were doing this, but everybody was jumping in and out of bands, and it was very a healthy little scene. Mm-hmm. That we created something that a music that traveled the world. It's what I'm gonna take away, not being the prophet, not being Anders, like, it's just like that is what I leave behind, which just feels really good, you know. That is possible to do this, and I say it sometimes from stage too, like, just fucking believe you. It may be a cliche, but whatever, it's like, you know, don't let anyone put you down, believe your dream, just do it, because there have been so many times where I go to, not counseling, what do you say, I don't know the words for it. When you're young and you need to have a job, and they supply you a job, and they say, like, do this.
Guidance counselor.
Yeah. And then they ask you what you want to do, and I'm like, I'm music, I want to play in a band. Don't do music, it's, nobody cares.
Yeah, no one makes it.
yeah, exactly. I'd be like, fuck you. And I was, you know, persistent, and still like, this is what I want to do, and I'm really happy I made it that way. And then just, if you have those dreams, fucking do it.
Absolutely, man. Don't let anyone tell you can't do anything. You guys stick to your guns, man. And I don't know about for you, but it was always music for me, man. It was same way. People tell you you're never going to make a music, and I was like, it doesn't matter. Either I'm doing this or I'm not going to make it. There's varying degrees of, and as you learn through being on the business side and meeting so many musicians and stuff, you don't necessarily have to be in the band to be in music, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot
of things you can do. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So everyone stick to your guns. I mean, if you love music that way.
Yeah. No, famous last words or whatever you say.
Dude, well, again, I want to thank you so much for the time. I got to plug the tour coming up and everything. Next couple of tours coming up. How long do you guys foresee the cycle for Gone going? Are we going into 2025, or are you guys going
to be we definitely will be going into 25. Let's see how far we stretch this, but 2-3 years at least, that's what I
that's a great cycle these days, this day and age, man. If you could stretch it out. Well, you got to make, I know, you got to make up time for that, for the pandemic that stifled you. You got to get back to Auckland.
Yeah, but it's here's another thing, what we talked about before. You talk about, like, this is not the way you're supposed to release singles. You're supposed to be there all the time. You shouldn't wait. You shouldn't wait 3 years. That's old school way of thinking. But I'd be like, yeah, maybe it is, but I'm fine with that. You know, that's, I don't, like, yeah, I get it at different times, but I get it. But this is the way I want to do it. That's the way I'm going to do it. So, yeah.
And you got to be happy. I've heard you say before too, and I think that's very important, that, like, the moment you step out on stage and you're not having a good time.
Oh, it's time to go.
It's time to go. And
yeah.
And I,
it can happen. It can happen once or twice, but, like, if it happens for several shows in
several
a row,
shows,
you're like,
yeah.
Yeah. You're
what are you doing
place.
Out there? And you know, the fans might think, the people listening will be like, well, how do you walk away from that? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, but if you really put yourself in this position, think about it this way. If I'm not having a good time on stage, if I'm not present with you there, it's going to show in the performance.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're lying to your fans too. They'll come there and support you, and you'd be like, I don't want to be here. And then it's like, just leave. It's like, so yeah, but so far I love it more than ever. So it's a good place to be.
It's good to have that break sometimes, you know, that absence makes the heart grow.
100%. 100%. 100%. I know it was a tough time for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I know it was a tough time for a lot of people. People losing jobs and family members and stuff like that. But if you look at our band specifically, or I think it was a nice breather. I got to look at myself and our band and see, you know, things for real and yeah, evaluate the position, and then now it feels way better.
Yeah, man. So it's so good to be out on stage and just having fun again.
That's right.
Man, well, I can't wait to catch you guys. As I said, I'm going to be looking at tour dates. Everyone at home, go look at these tour dates I was talking specifically. You got May in the States. You got Europe in the winter time. And then I'll keep an eye out because obviously, Anders just said, they're going to be out in 2025 as well. Last thing, are you going to be around this summer for some of those European festivals coming up?
No, we're not. We decided to take a break. Take the summer off. Obviously, talking about the COVID years, that was off, but it wasn't meant to be. So it never felt really I was free. So we decided not to do any tours this summer. So
okay, are you gonna be home?
That's gonna be, yeah, I'm gonna be home.
All right. Well,
Are you in Scandinavia? At all? Or
I gotta look again. Yeah. I know we're doing the circuit.
I know.
So yeah, I'm just not sure if we're doing the Scandinavian ones this summer or next summer. To be honest, I gotta look at the schedule again. You know how that
is. Yeah.
Someone right now is fact checking me already in the YouTube comments. And I'm like, Johnny, you're gonna be here. And I'm like, okay, yeah, cool, yeah. I'll be there. But, yeah, yeah. No, I just asked. We got to exchange each other. I don't know why we never exchange each other's numbers or info on all the fucking shows we did.
You know, so my number is...
yeah. We'll do it after I hit stop. But yeah, thank you so much, man. We got to stay in touch, though, because if I am... next time I'm in Europe or next time you're near California, or we just... You know, I'm sure we're going to cross paths again. I'd love to...
And say hi to the boys. Say hi to the boys and everyone and have a good tour.
Likewise, man. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. And everyone,
now I'm
going to
cook food for the family.
What's that, buddy?
Now I'm going to cook food for the family. Everybody's waiting.
Everyone's waiting on you. I'm sorry. I took too much of the time. But thank you guys
so
much.
It's all good.
Everyone, thanks for checking it out. As always, till next time. Cheers.
Thank you.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.